This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. The coronavirus pandemic has taken a psychological toll to varying degrees on each one of us. Many of us have found ways to cope. But what about kids? Their minds are still developing, and a pandemic is something few people alive in 2021 have experienced. How do parents and other guardians guide kids through such extraordinary times? And where do parents go for help now that summer is here and school is out? Joining us today is someone who has some answers. Dr. Alan Maugerman is Director of Behavioral Health Services at Open Door Health Services in Muncie. He says the reactions he has seen in children and parents have been all over the map, especially with behavior related to isolation and separation anxiety.
We've seen a extremely varied reaction. So we've had some families that used it as an opportunity to create, you know, some unique family time. So they, you know, started doing family game nights on a pretty much every night basis. We had other families who were dealing with, you know, possible job loss and, you know, those kinds of stressors, and the parents being anxious would be sort of contagious to the children, where we were getting more children expressing worries about, you know, paying bills and, you know, are we going to be able to have food this month? And so the more the parents would worry out loud, or even sometimes just the kids would pick up on it without them saying anything verbally, you know, we'd see some of that trickle down to those kids. So a lot of it had to do with the parental level of stress and how well parents were handling any changes that were coming.
What have been the most frequent issues you've seen with kids during the pandemic?
A lot of depression and anxiety has been the two most prominent things. And that's also the same with parents too. And again, it seems to be the more their social schedules seem to be disrupted, for a lot of kids, it seems like that tends to be more the issue. So I think we found more, or at least I've seen more with the adolescent clients. We've seen a lot more depression, and a lot of that's, you know, just not having simple things like being able to attend prom or not being able to, you know, have a senior trip, not being able to see their friends on the weekends as much. So for younger kids, we tended to see more anxiety.
Would that be representative of the psychological development of the person, that is, younger children would mm-hmm. tend to be more anxious? Yes, they can be sad because they perhaps mm-hmm. lost a toy or something like that. But this is the entire globe that's being involved right here, and that's beyond anybody's scope, regardless of age. Would it make more, quote-unquote, sense that the adolescents, since they have deeper relationships, would feel depressed more than, say, a younger child would?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, most adolescents, their primary social network is their peers. It shifts from being their parents to being their peers, whereas, you know, younger kids were able to spend more time at home, so they had that parental attention and support to buffer that. The, you know, the relationship with parents was more important to them typically at a younger age. So I think, yeah, the social isolation piece really seemed to affect the teenagers worse.
What sorts of warning signals can parents watch for to perhaps seek treatment for themselves or for their children or both?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person. So some people we find it affects their body first. So they start getting loss of appetite. They can't sleep well. They are constantly having headaches, stomach aches. You know, they're tense, and their anxiety is showing up physiologically, or they're depressed and they're just not eating. They're not out, you know, they're no longer exercising, or they're no longer going out to see friends or do things when the opportunity arises. So for some people, I think it's physiological. Others, it can be just emotional, where they just, you know, they just suddenly have no energy and crying suddenly, you know. For some people, it's more cognitive, where they start worrying, and the worries just, you know, keep coming, and they have a hard time controlling those, or, you know, fearing future situations or being afraid that, you know, problems are going to keep happening, and, you know, what if this, what if that type of thinking. So I think any kind of sudden change in physiological status or emotional status or thought patterns, you know, those are just things to keep an eye out for.
Here we are in mid-June, and there is great improvement in terms of vaccination numbers and general health of the public regarding the pandemic. Still, the ball game isn't over. Do you have some coping suggestions as parents and children navigate through this middle part of the year of 2021?
Yeah, a couple suggestions. One of the things we did find in the pandemic is that the more anxious that parents were about the pandemic and, you know, what could happen. And the more they watch news coverage, especially, the parental anxiety level would go up. So we had people who were home all day and they were spending a lot of time just watching news and had the news on all the time about the pandemic. And that, just having it on the background, was I think overwhelming a lot of parents, where they just didn't have a break from that constant news about things, and that would feed into the children being anxious because the parents were always anxious about it. So that's obviously has improved with you know, the pandemic being under more control. But that is something to keep in mind if things were to get, you know, if rates were to go up again in the fall, or there's a new strain. That's one of our concerns, I think, as psychologists, is for parents to just realize, you know, they need to take a break from media consumption and news consumption, or try to limit that so that it's not all on all the time where the kids are hearing that, because a lot of times younger kids don't understand the degree of risk that's involved. So they may hear something and think, oh my gosh, everyone in my town is going to get sick next week, or, you know, those kinds of things. They don't realize how this works sometimes. So I think reducing media exposure, I think, for adults and kids is definitely a good break psychologically for them, is to try to limit some of that. The other thing is just trying to create a regular routine. So that's also been a big struggle with the pandemic, is we're finding parents who had a structure and built a structure for their children tended to do better. Those who just, you know, would let their kids get up whatever time, every day of the week, and do their homework whenever they felt like it, those families tended to have more struggles. So, you know, keeping a schedule is definitely, I think, helpful for children. For adults, I think also one of the issues we find is, you know, our brain always wants to think about the future and plan for the future and what if this and be prepared. But, you know, it's not something we can control necessarily. It's not something you can predict what's going to happen. So one of the things I encourage clients to do is just kind of close your eyes, even plug your ears if you have to, take in a really deep breath. And as you're taking in the breath, say to yourself, right now in this moment, just for 30 seconds, I'm going to just act as if everything is okay.
Dr. Alan Moggerman is Director of Behavioral Health Services at Open Door Health Services in Muncie. Dr. Moggerman, thank you for your time.
All right, thank you, Stan.
For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.